Amen. Let's give a round of applause to the Lord and thank Karen for sharing with us, getting us started this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens declare it. It's time for us to declare it as well as we worship. Let's stand together. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and then sing some songs of praise and worship. So I encourage you to pour out your heart unto the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you for your creation. And that the heavens declare your glory throughout the stars and the planets and solar systems and galaxies proclaim your glory. And Lord, all on this earth, if we don't praise you, the rocks will. And Lord, we want to praise you. We don't want to let the rocks do in what's our responsibility. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in our hearts and our lives today and in our midst. And help us, Lord, as we praise you, that you would teach us the truth through the worship songs that we sing that are many of them based on Scripture and quote Scripture. And Lord, as we hear your word proclaimed by your servant Joel, that you'll fill him with your spirit and your power. Let your name be praised and magnified today, God. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice for us and your presence, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, let us worship you right now in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship. What an awesome God.
God is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere his glory on display. Take a look at those stars, you can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey. Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome
our God.
Our God,
our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Cross broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from the grave. Take a look at those scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
God, you're great in all you do. I'm made to worship you, my God. You're an awesome God. What an awesome, awesome God you are. No one like you, none beside you. God, we worship
you. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
God is an awesome God. awesome God.
Amen. He's worthy of worship and praise. We have a relationship through His Son, Jesus, who loved us so much. And we don't have to wonder who holds our faith, because Jesus, when we turn it over to Him, He's got us. He's got our front, He's got our back, and all around us, inside us. So put your life in His hands. You'll never regret it. That's the blessed assurance we have when we place our faith in Him, that He holds on to us. Let's worship.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. I'll testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His. This is my story. I'll testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His. This is my story. I'll testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry.
To our only worship service again today. We're glad that you're part. If you're a guest of ours today, we want to make sure that you're welcome. On the far right-hand side of your bulletin, if you'll open it up, you'll see a QR code. And that QR code will take you to a guest card from your phone, and you can fill out as much information as you feel comfortable giving us, and we would appreciate you doing that. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Amen. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe is who we serve. The King is sovereign, and His kingdom stretches wherever His influence is found. So I hope that He is the King of your heart today. Let His influence rule and reign in your life. Let's sing as we worship. You're my King. What amazing love that Jesus has for us. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive. Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me?
Be seated. Ushers, if you'll come. Father, today, what a joy it is to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift up our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, everything that we are, everything that we have, to lift it up to you in worship, to say, Lord, please accept this time of worship. Not how it's done, but accept the heart of the worshiper that adores you, that worships you, that glorifies you, sings these songs to you, Father, because we want you to know just how much we love you and how grateful and thankful we are for the gift of life that has been given to us in Jesus. Everything is a gift, and may we treat it as the gift that it is, life, abundant, everlasting, freedom from the condemnation of our sin. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give, that you give us the privilege, the joy, the honor of joining you in this thing called the mission of shining light in darkness, carrying the gospel to our city, to our state, to our country, and then all over the world, Father, to make sure that the good news of the gospel is a part of who we are. We look at our world today, Father, and there is tragedy, war, anger, bitterness. And inside of us is the light of the gospel. May we shine that light in a dark world. Thank you, Father, for this day of worship, for the opportunity you give us today to join you in worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship choir, worship team, all that are participating and leading us in worship. Thank y'all so much, Ken. That was so good. Thanks. All right, Hosea chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. We spent 3 weeks talking about authenticity. What does it mean to be authentic in our faith? We live in an inauthentic world. Fake is the name of the game. We have a saying in our culture, fake it until you make it. And that is the perfect description of America. All right, so inauthenticity. What does it mean to be authentic then in an inauthentic world? How do you and I work, home, family, community? How do we live with authenticity in our faith in an inauthentic world? So that's kind of what we dealt with over the past several weeks. But now we jump back into one of our minor prophets. So chronologically, the next minor prophet is Hosea. After Amos and Jonah, he's the first in the Bible, biblical order, but he's third in chronological order, and we're going chronologically. So like Amos and like Jonah, Hosea's ministry occurred primarily during the reign of Jeroboam II in the north. All right, so Amos was in the south, and Hosea was more in the north. However, the difference is that Hosea's ministry kept on going after the death of Jeroboam II. He served all the way up until King Hezekiah was in Judah. Jeroboam II died somewhere around 753 BC. King Hezekiah took the throne somewhere around 720, 722, they really probably say more like 722. Now think about this. During the reign of Jeroboam II, times were good. Prosperity. So we've got a nation that has got money, material possessions, interest rates are at an all-time low. The interest rates, from what I understand as I study the Hebrew, was down below 2%. So people were just borrowing money. We had money flowing. I mean, it was awesome. The job market was high. Interest rates were low. And everybody had money and possessions, and it was good. It was second only to the reigns of King David and King Solomon. So the point I'm making is, times were good. And Jeroboam II died. And boy, when Jeroboam II died, man, it fell apart like a cheap suit. Now I want you to think about this. Think about your world. You've got money. You've got possessions. Everybody's doing great. We're going out to eat. Things look great. The market is full. Everybody's got a job. It's great. And then all of a sudden, King Jeroboam II dies, and over the next 30 years, 4 out of the next 6 kings is assassinated. Man, you're talking about falling apart like a cheap suit? This thing fell apart like a cheap suit. I mean, all of a sudden, we've got Jeroboam II. Things are great. And then over the next several years, 4 of the next 6 kings are assassinated. Why? Because sin. They're trying to fill their own coffers. Hosea prophesied then for about 30 to 40 years. All right, so when we study a minor prophet, I work really hard at several things. First thing I want to try to do, I don't want to get bogged down in all of the history and all of the context, so much so that on Sunday morning when you wake up, you think, oh, I'm going to a seminary lecture and I'm not going to worship. I want you to feel like when you come to church on Sunday morning that you're coming to worship and to hear a word from the Lord, that you're not coming to a seminary lecture. Now, on Wednesday nights, that's totally different. If you come to Wednesday night, for example, we did a study of the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night. We jumped into on Sunday morning in Hebrews 12, the great cloud of witnesses. But we took 2 years on Wednesday night going through Hebrews, and we went verse by verse, and we to say we got bogged down is the understatement of the year. We got bogged down in the sacrificial system of the old covenant, the dietary laws. Melchizedek is the, Jesus is the new Melchizedek. I mean, we got bogged down because it was Wednesday night. But on Sunday morning, I don't want to get all bogged down in all of the history and the context that you feel like you're at a seminary lecture rather than hearing a word from the Lord. What about this week? What do I need from the Lord this week? Let me give you a good example. When I first look at a text, a verse, a passage, before I read anything, before I research anything, before I look at any note, before I try to figure out what's going on, the first thing I do is I read it as Joel Samuels. Just Joel Samuels, I'm reading the text. And I'm looking for what is the first thing, Joel, that just jumps out at you when I read this verse or when I read this passage of Scripture. So, in order to really understand what's going on in Hosea, we have to look at some of the history. We have to look at some of the context. Not get bogged down in it, but we have to look at some of that. And when I first read this text, I am reading it as a modern day American Christian. And in a few moments, I'm going to read it. But when you read that first text, verses 1 and 3, my first reaction is, what? Is it yours? What? God commanded. It's not like Hosea made a big mistake and we're going to have to turn tragedy to victory. No. No. God commanded his prophet. Now, his prophets are, that's his mouthpiece. He speaks to his people through Amos, through Jonah, through Hosea, through Nahum, through all of these minor prophets. This is how God speaks to his people. So your prophet, your mouthpiece, you command your prophet to go and marry a prostitute and have children by her. Does that sound right to you? That doesn't sound right. Something's, all right, I got to understand some of the history, I got to understand what's really going on here for I can really, really, really understand why in the world would God do this. I've also made a commitment to myself. I promise you I will try. I'm not promising that I'll do it. I'm promising you I will try my best through this study in the summer of Hosea to use the word prostitute, because you don't wince, because it's actually what it says in the Scripture, but she's really not a prostitute. She's something else. But if I say whore, you're going to wince. So I'm going to try my best to just say prostitute. But that's what she was. All right? So let's just make sure we understand. You got to hear it at least. And more than likely, I'll get worked up at other points and I'll say it. But I'm promising you I'm going to try. So we need to understand what's really going on. We know almost nothing about Hosea except what is found in the book that bears his name. At the start of his ministry, the northern kingdom was experiencing great prosperity, second only to the reign of King David and King Solomon. And things changed dramatically. Over the next 20 years, there was so much turmoil in Samaria, which is the capital of Israel. Four of the next six kings were assassinated because these kings were trying to wine and dine the Assyrians. They were trying to do this for their own benefit. This was to benefit them, their own position, their own fortunes. They were trying to fill their own coffers. That is to say, They sold Israel to a prostitute. Get it? Are you getting it? God's chosen kings for His chosen people selling God's chosen people to a prostitute. And when Israel finally revolted, Assyria invaded and took the Israelites into captivity. Man, it was bad. The great Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, from God's perspective, idolatry was the fundamental problem. The Lord sent Hosea to Israel both to warn the people against foreign alliances and, more importantly, to denounce the ethical violations and the idolatry of worship in anything other than holy God. Hosea, like Amos, warned that God would reject such idolatry and He would turn them over to the Assyrians. So God is spending hundreds of years warning His people through Amos, through Jonah, now through Hosea. But like Amos, Hosea had words of hope for the faithful remnant. Yes, destruction would come, but there would be an incredible restoration on the other side. Now, what does that sound like to you? All right, what does that sound like to you? I hope that your answer is the gospel. Well, that sounds like the gospel. Yes. Sin, idolatry is the problem. It separates us from holy God. Our sin leads us down a path of destruction and death and hell. But God has a word of hope for His faithful remnant. And who is the faithful remnant? It's me. I'm the faithful remnant. You, all of us who have repented of our sin, put our trust and our faith in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we are the faithful remnant. And what is our hope in this faithful remnant? His Son, Jesus. Yes, destruction comes. But there is a restoration on the other side, and that restoration, church, is called the gospel. So we open up the story, starting in verse 1. The Lord gave His message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah were kings of Judah. And Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was the king of Israel. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, He said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will then illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So, Hosea was obedient. He did exactly what God said. Hosea married a woman named Gomer. Bad name, but we'll get to that later. The daughter of Dibleah. And she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. All right, so in so doing, Hosea acted out the relationship between God and His people who had committed spiritual adultery by leaving her lovers in the form of false gods. And yet, despite of Israel's cheating ways, the Lord would never give up on His people. Hundreds of years, calling her, wooing her back to Him to warn His people that idolatry will always lead to ruin. And I don't care if you're in the Old Covenant or you're in the New Covenant. This is a word for God's people from the very beginning all the way to now. Sin, idolatry will always lead to your ruin. Every time. Now what we're going to learn as we walk through some, not all, but some of Hosea, is that God will exalt His mercy by not giving up on His wife of prostitution. The good news of Hosea is that God knows that Joel Samuels has sold himself. He knows that. He knows that I've sold myself for a song. He gets that. And yet every day He is wooing me and you back into His loving arms. Certainly Hosea offers a word of warning. We're not immune to judgment. We see that. But God is always embracing us with His hope. What God wants for you and what God wants for me is for us to love Him and to adore Him warmly from our heart and not just to serve Him dutifully. I want you, there are certain themes that you just can't miss in Scripture. One of the themes that you get from Genesis, the very beginning, to Revelation, Jesus is coming back to take us home. One of the keys that you get is that no matter if it's in the Old Covenant or if it's in the New Covenant, and that is this, God always wants your heart. Always. That's what's really going on in this book of Hosea. God doesn't really care how well you do it. Whatever it is, God wants your heart. Because if God can get your heart, we're all good. Barry Hendon says, "The imagery of God as Israel's husband is found all throughout Scripture. The deep love that God has for His people is beyond measure. And because of His incredible love for us, we are called to return that love to Him. Gomer's story is a common story. It is the story of having everything from God and turning it away for the cheap thrill of sin. Man. It is also the story of God's forgiving love to His children who deserve His wrath." That is to say, God will never, ever, 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 ever give up on you. Ever. You're in His hand if you know Him as Savior and Lord. I think that I've told this story before, and I do have a minute or two to tell it. I don't know that I've told this story before. I think I have. If I have, I'm old now, and that's what we old people do. My family makes fun of me because I tell, yeah, you've told us that story 15,000 times, Dad. Okay. Now, well, here's 15,001. I think I've told the story, but I don't know. And I know I've told it to y'all, a bunch of you individually. Last year, on June the 7th, our youngest son, Carson, who will be here next week, by the way, our youngest son, Carson, married a young lady named Mary Glenn Draper, Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. So Janice had to work out all of these details from Gunnersville to Lake Junaluska, because we're in charge of, as you well know, the green, we're in charge of the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner, yada, yada, yada. Did a great, incredible job. They did a great job putting it all together. Janice did an incredible job from here putting all of that together. So we're sitting down, we're eating this meal, and it is awesome. Great meal. And I'm sitting at the end of the table, and I look over here to the right, and there's the dessert table. How many desserts did we have? Three? Janice, was it three or four? You know, but the dessert table is sitting right over to my right. And at the end of the dessert table is a blueberry. Have I told y'all this story? Huh? No, I haven't. This is a great story, y'all. So I look over to this table, and at the end of the table, there is this blueberry cheesecake. And man, that blueberry cheesecake started talking to me. Now I'm just sitting there, and I look over, and that blueberry cheesecake is looking at me going, "Ah, it looked so good, didn't it, y'all? It looked," my family's out there going, "It looked so good." So I finish my meal and I walk over there and I grab a piece of this blueberry cheesecake and I bring it back. And y'all, I looked at Janice, I said, "I think that's the best cheesecake I've ever eaten in my entire life. It was that good. It looked good. It tasted incredible." And I look over here to my right, and there's Mary. Mary Glenn is one of five. She's four in five. She's got a brother that's older than her, and then she's got a brother younger than her, Wright and Will. Wright literally just graduated seminary, got home from San Diego, California, got in a car, and drove up to Lake Junaluska to be in his sister's wedding. Will and his wife, Ashley, and Wright are sitting at this table, and I look over there, and they're all three eating that blueberry cheesecake. And they're all doing on their face what I'm doing on my face. Oh my God. And so then all of a sudden, I hear that blueberry cheesecake saying, "It won't hurt to have one more." And I believed it. So I walk over there and I stop by Will and Wright and Ashley's table. And I said, "That blueberry cheesecake is incredible." And Wright said, that's the best cheesecake I've ever had in my entire life. I said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." And the reason I'm back over here is because I know better than to go get a second piece, but I'm going to get a second piece. He said, "I am too." And I said, "Will, or Wright, that blueberry cheesecake is a sin. This is your first lesson in ministry. That blueberry cheesecake is sin. It looks good. It's calling my name. Come on, Joel. One more piece isn't going to hurt. It looks good and it tastes great. Isn't sin look great? Doesn't it taste great?" I had the knowledge not to get the second piece, but I didn't have the ability to not do it. And so I told Wright, I said, "Now Wright, you and I are both going to eat that second piece of cheesecake. It looks good. It tastes good. But let me tell you something. Tonight, when all this is over, and Janice and the boys and the girls and I, we get everything all put up and the flowers are all done for the night. And I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look at that ceiling and I'm going to look over to my lovely wife and I'm going to say, 'Why in the world did you let me eat that second piece of cheesecake?' Because I'm going to be miserable." I saw Wright the next morning and Wright said, "You couldn't have hit it harder, right on the head. I was up till 2 o'clock. I couldn't go to sleep. I was absolutely miserable." And there it is, church. It looks good. It tastes good. But it will leave you in misery every single time. The scripture doesn't tell us this. The scripture does not tell us what Gomer looked like. I think that's interesting. That this whole story, never, ever, ever does the story describe what Gomer looked like. Terrible name. But what did she look like? I'd be willing to bet she was drop-dead gorgeous. What the scripture does tell us is that the men in town all wanted Gomer. I bet she was drop dead gorgeous. Father, blueberry cheesecake. It looks good. It tastes good. But boy, it'll leave you in misery. Israel sold its soul for money, for power, for possessions. They sold their soul to a prostitute. And it is the great story of us selling ourselves to a prostitute called sin. That always looks good at the beginning, but leaves you in misery. Father, thank you for a great word to us today as we begin this study of this great story of Hosea and Gomer and how it lived out, literally illustrated to God's people their sin and idolatry. And God doing everything he could do to call them back. You're headed for destruction. You're headed for destruction. Let me call you back. So here we are today, Father. Same thing. God, through your word, calling your people, your church, your family, back to you. May we hear. May we listen. May we trust you, Father, in all things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All my hope is in Jesus is our invitation. If you've never put your trust and your faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then that's our encouragement to you today. You've heard the gospel through Hosea. You've heard the good news. That's your hope is Jesus, and He is your only hope. So we encourage you to come today. If you need to come and pray, join our church. Do that now as we stand, as we sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday. Fire from above, and I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. That's why I sing.
All my hope is in Jesus.
But I've been freed and forgiven, and I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone.
Let me introduce Deb and Scott Alwanger. Close?
Wag.
L. L. Yes, Wanger. All right. We're going to get this in just a moment. Just give me a minute. All right, they're coming today. They know Christ as their Savior and Lord. They have followed Christ in believers' baptism. They have fixed my Suburban. Hey. That's good. That's a good thing. They've been here for several months now. I've been a part of First Baptist Church. They're coming today saying, this is where we know the Lord wants us to worship and serve, right here at First Baptist Church. And so once again, they know Christ. They followed in believers' baptism. Coming today saying this is their church home. And I know that you are thrilled that they're here. All in favor, let it be known by raising up your right hand. All opposed, seeing nobody opposed to that. Come in just a few minutes to say a word of encouragement to Deb and Scott as they come to make First Baptist Church their home. Lyndall, come talk to us real quick. Tell us where we are. Things are good, by the way.
Things are very good.
Yes.
Building by faith.
It was a campaign that we did in the fall of 2025, and so now we wanted to give you an update, and so I'm going to talk about three slides here real quickly. So we had a pledge program for 3 years, and it started off by what could you give in 2025, our first fruits offerings, and we took in $552,000, almost $553,000. 100% of that money was received, and all of that was great. Pledge year one, December 2025 through November 2026, you pledged $975,000. We have received 31% of that money, so the money is coming in, and all is good with that. In pledge year two, there's $744,000, and pledge year three, there's $566,000. $2,837,680 is the total of all the pledges given to date, is $855,963. So give the Lord a hand for those great numbers. The next slide is even more encouraging, and so we want to come in. There was other ways that you could give. Everybody did not pledge. You may not have been in a position to pledge. You may have thought, there's things going on with my job, with my whatever circumstances, and you were not able to pledge. But a lot of people have given gifts other than through the pledge card. And so those non-pledge giving year one to date, so that's December basically through today, or through the 1st of June, is $281,000. That's an incredible amount of money that has came in above and beyond the pledge program, and we're so thankful for that. We also have investment gifts. The IRS allows the church to take investment gifts in some ways, and so you might have investments that you'd rather give the church instead of cash. Some people have done that, and we have those remaining in the investments that we're running them through, and so $202,000 has came in through that channel, and then Brian is working to make sure that the money that we have been given is invested in good CDs and secure things to let it grow, and it has earned $6,400 worth of interest. So at this point, we have $490,000, $323,000. In additional giving above and beyond the pledges, so that's a great number as well. You may be new to our church, new to our congregation, or you may not have been able to do a pledge. Like I said, back when in the fall, it just wasn't the right time. You can still do that. If we know, if you contact the church office, you can talk to Karen or Amy, and they will set you up if you want to make pledges for the rest of this year and on into pledge year two and pledge year three, so that we know what giving may be coming that would help. But again, it's not something you've got to do. If you just want to keep giving as you're able, that's great. But the more that we know that's coming over the next 2.5 years, the better off we'll be. So to sum it all up, we have offerings received and invested of $1,003,406, 41% of the total from Building by Faith. So the open pledges is $1,981,000. So we look forward to those continuing to come in over the next 2.5 years. But we have $3,328,003 pledged and given so far, and so that's an incredible number. And we thank you from the Long Range Planning Committee, the staff, the leadership of the church. We're all so thankful to be able to do that. So now your question is, what are we doing? Well, we are continuing to work to try to find the best way to utilize this money. When we were talking about building blocks, we were talking about maybe $5 million blocks at a time. And so we're not at that number. So we're trying to figure out exactly what we can do with the number that we have. And so we met with the architect on Monday night. We had the Long Range Planning Committee and the church leadership, and Joel, some of those people were there. And we talked about the possibility of a building that would be out to the right on Gunner, just past this building. So they would not be connected. And some of the things that we're having to do, because we don't have the full amount of money that we would like to, we're just trying to make it work the best that we can. We passed in deacons meeting this past week the thing to do boring. So now that we've got to kind of bore the hillside, because the plan is that we will make
was that talking about my sermons?
Do what?
Boring?
Oh, borings, yes.
Oh,
yes,
a different kind of boring. Okay, all right.
Yes. So anyway, so we're going to, we wouldn't pay for your sermons.
I just can't help myself.
Anyway.
Sometimes I just can't help myself.
These geotechnical engineers, they want some money to drill 7 holes in the ground. that would be in the area closest to the church here in the hillside to make sure of what the excavation work might cost and things like that. I think it's we asked for $6,000. That'll come before church this week at the business meeting. But anyway, that's the plan, is to try to do that and then continue to define the plan of a two-story building that would be on this level, on the level that we have out in the corner here, kind of out the music suite level, and then the second level would match up with the second floor level, so that at some point in time, if we do decide to connect the buildings, that all the floor levels would be equal instead of the evil ramps that we have.
Good save.
I know the ramps are a problem in certain places in the church. So that's kind of our plan. And so we just wanted to give you an update on the financial piece. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just continue to give, and we look to God's faithfulness in this building. We'll have a worship center up top for the youth primarily, and then some classrooms downstairs that could be used for youth on Wednesday nights and everything, and possibly some use on Sunday mornings here for the main church. So anyway, we are so thankful for you. God's blessed, and we just ask that you continue to pray for the architects and all the teams that are working. Continue to use God's money in the best way that we can to serve Him.
Thank you, Linda, a lot. And that Monday night was absolutely fabulous. It was great. All right, call or text Amy Glasgow about going Top of the Rock 2 weeks from tonight. All right, it's going to be a fun night. Sign up today. Let Amy know today, 250th, June the 30th for our senior adults. All right, real quick. God and Country, July the 5th, 6 p.m., FBC, Albertville. That's going to be and choir and praise team. They're all working with First Baptist Albertville and those other churches as well. All right? All right, let's close. Ken, how are we going to get out of here? Doxology. All right, come say a word to Deb and Scott.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.